check one.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, no, we got the guys up there. All right. Hey, Mike. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do your bio here, and you're going to tell me all about why you're there and, you know, what you got and, you know, what happened, what you're going to do, and we'll all be somebody, okay?
Right on.
All right, here we go. Go ahead and count to five for me to check your level.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mike, I got you?
Yeah.
Hi, Mike.
And then there's also Jason here, I guess.
Yeah, Jason's up there, but you're not loud. All right, here we go.
We must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared, 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 unafeared. You're on Declare Your Independence from here in Stancock. Here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU Tifo Studios of FreezeWithNest, FreezeWithNest.com. Okay, we have Mike Pastor on, his friend. Jason, do I got you there too?
Yep.
Okay, it's Jason. Okay, let's go ahead. Yeah, quit banging, making noise, man. I have to push the button. All right. Now, we have Mike Pastor. He ran for Congress in 2010 as a libertarian, which turned him into an anarchist. We'll talk about that a little bit. He was a part of the San Diego Libertarian Party for about 4 years after that. He's done quite a bit of activism for a fully informed jury. Been a practicing agorist for about 5 years. We'll find out what that means. Currently working on a history project on the roots of the Enlightenment. Well, this sounds interesting. Jason, that's Mike Pastor. Jason, introduce yourself to the audience. Who are you?
Hi, I'm a nobody, but I'm definitely, what is it, you'll definitely see my head pop up around the most Liberty events. I'm from Long Island, and I pretty much became an anarchist on accident, originally starting back in the beginning of 2016, but originally started to care about Liberty starting around, like, the election of 2012 when Ron Paul was still running. So that's kind of, like, how I started.
You know, it's always... You know, I remember there was a book. It says it usually begins with Ayn Rand. I mean, I think that was the name of the book. I read it, and kind of the history and a lot of the, you know, people and how that changed their life and where they came in and consolidated the Liberty Nexus or something. And I'm going, this Ron Paul thing, a lot of people, of course, was the 08 campaign. You know, it kind of started. Yeah, that was the real hardcore anarchist libertarian. It just kind of, you know, I thought. And then the 12, it was kind of, wow, this is a viable concern.
You know, most of them had grown up by then.
Yeah, right. You know, by the 12 campaign, it took on a different flavor. It was more like
A whole new crop of kids came in, and then all of us old hats were like, aw.
Isn't that cute? But anyway, you know, so
it was
different, though. That campaign was more, we're going to do it. We're going to get political this time. We're going to kick ass, you know, and do it right. You know, let me know how that works out, you know. I was more spontaneous order. The passion, the flavor was more in 08, and 12 is more the machine. And
I did read Ayn Rand in high school, so, yeah, that's a thing.
Well, this is, you know, explain to me, Mike, when you ran for Congress in 10, what was your reasoning, and how did it turn you into an anarchist?
Well, okay, so I ran because I just thought, you know, I'd be able to go out there and get the word out, you know, door to door, talk to people, you know, and that's one of those things that nobody does anymore, right? So I was actually going door to door during this whole thing. And when I started filing the paperwork for all this nonsense, that's when it started to hit me that, like, oh, this is all a game. Because to, like, collect, like, donations or anything, you have to file, like, a piece of paper and then send it all the way down to San Diego every time you collect a donation, right? Which I wasn't getting any, and that's fine. But, you know, it's ridiculous for somebody who's who's running essentially, you know, more or less by themselves. You know, like the county party helped me out a little bit, but, you know, that's, you can't do that by yourself, but they make it seem that, like, that's what you're supposed to do. Oh, just run for Congress. You'll fix everything, and you can't do it like that. It's not how it works.
How does it work?
You know, it's a fucking, I stopped myself. It's a game. You know, it's a game. It's, I mean, I was running against Daryl Issa, and then down in San Diego at Golden Halls, where they have, like, the big election night thing, I ended up talking to his campaign manager, and I remember kind of saying something to this guy before I knew who it was. I go, well, it's not as if, like, he even ran, like, a re-election campaign or anything. And he looks over at me, and he goes, I know he didn't. I'm his campaign manager. And I just look at him and go, okay, so this is really how it is. Like, it's just, it's already set up.
Yeah. So that made you an, you go, ah, screw the political system, or I got to do it better, or I need to know the right guy, go to the right party. I mean, what was your thought process?
Literally, when I voted for myself, I was an anarchist. Like, I was just like, well, you know, I've done all this work. I might as well go in here and vote for myself, but I can't do this sort of thing again. It's pointless.
Why? I mean, what was the reason for doing it? You thought you were going to get elected? I mean, what was your point?
No. Like I was saying, it was just be able to talk to people about liberty. You know, you say in your run for Congress, people start listening to you for some weird reason, right?
Well, so, you're threatening them.
I mean, I suppose so. I didn't realize that at the time, but, you know.
Well, so anarchist, define that. You go like this, and you've been, you know, practicing agorist for 5 years. Wow, what does that mean? Which church do you worship at? I mean, you know, what are you talking about?
Well, I just think that, you know, you should be able to do business and make money and do whatever you want with your money without having to send any paperwork into the man, right?
Yeah. I'm not about paperwork. You know, that was the one big thing. Is that we're going to take all your crap and we need you to fill this out so we know how much to take.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
We're also drafting you for accounting services.
I'm not into it. You know, I mean, I do it under coercion.
Number, all that.
You know, Donna does all the, yeah, tell me where to sign, man, whatever. You know, it's not like I get, woohoo, I got to pay my fair share. You know, it's just not that way. And I'm wondering, how old are you guys?
I'm 34.
I'm 24.
Okay, so, you know, this is like, I started when it became, ding, aware, probably earlier, but by 28, you know, and I, you know, had fourth child on the way, we're, you know, looking serious in the future, watching network news at night, being a responsible human being, get my programming. But when I changed the channel, it was the same five stories in the same order every night. You know, from the networks, I'm going, who the hell are feeding? Does anybody notice this? I mean, what the hell? And it's just, yeah, they just go blindly into it. So in your dealings as an agorist for 5 years, are you making attempt to kind of deal with other agorists? Is there a website you go to? Is there a crew that you have, a philosophy you follow? How does that work?
Well, I don't really have a website. I actually kind of think that's generally for agorism, depending on where the website's hosted, etc., probably not the best way to go about doing it, because that's something that they can go after.
Yeah.
But you definitely kind of, like, you build up your network of people that you deal with and people that you trust. And, ideally I like to deal with other agorists because they know what's up and they're not going to be dumb about it. Cause there's plenty of people who think that, like, oh, I don't know, for example, like the man isn't listening into Facebook Messenger or something, which they most definitely are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering, you know, they're, I don't care, you know. It's like, let them. I'm not. I don't care. But I'm telling you, I'm looking for how this is going to manifest itself in the future as anarchism, as a philosophy, a default, and it's going to be your generation. Because I've seen the evolution before in my day, as I, you know, in the 80s, I'm, you know, like, you know, in the 20s and so on. It was always about what union you belong to, what club you, what education, diploma you have. You got like this ticket to, you know, the good life, and you had in here.
Yeah.
That's not it anymore. You know, and you got a deck. And you got, there's something different. Now we got 24 to 32 round in there. So we got, you know, and you're a little older than that now, Davi. You're getting to be an old man.
Yeah.
You know, how old are you now?
36 or 7.
Eh, you're not a geezer,
I was born in 81.
Man. You're not a geezer yet. But when we come back, I want to see predictions on the future.
Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The Crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The Crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The Crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the Crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
According to a new report released this week by the Pew Research Center, a rising number of weak, emasculated men are working as stay-at-home dads, with a steadily increasing number of feeble, pathetic fae boys choosing to spend...
Yeah, whatever, man. That probably sounded like one of the better ones. You know, the...
The Onion put out, like, a distress signal that was like, the Onion is going bankrupt and we need your support. Please donate. We can't seem to produce anything more ridiculous than reality.
That's good.
Especially now. I mean, you know, it's so bad. You know, guys, when we come back, you know, we'll take you one at a time. But I want to get the perspective. We'll start with the Mike. You're old. Mike, you're 32, you said?
34.
So 34. And, you know, what you think the perspective is on all the news, the economy, everything that's going and happening, and your foray into politics, and then you kind of, the future's going to be and what you think's going to happen to the generation of yours, and then, you know, your family situation. Are you married? Do you have kids? Were you ever, whatever, you know, motivates you, and give a perspective of what do you think is the future, what's going to happen, and then we'll ask Jason the same thing, and I give each of you, like, you know, 4 minutes to answer, okay?
Got it.
All right, so you guys be ready for that, because I need some prediction from your perspective, because my perspective, I mean, it changes over time and so on, what's important and not, but it's pretty much the same. You can see that you have to go through these like the fourth turning thing. You got to go through cycles. You got to go through, you know, you got to go through depravity. Then you get the, you know, like economy goes or whatever. Then you get this, like, fight, and then you get liberty, and you get, but it's all based on, you know, fear and control and BS, and you don't really know what's going on. I'm wondering how much you guys do or what you look to see, because I doubt you're checking the Dow Jones to see if that's going to determine your future. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, those are just numbers, yeah. Right?
Yeah, no, the only number, biggest number I see is the price of gas, and they go, whoa, 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 they're getting all antsy. We'll just lower that number. We'll make it, you know, $2.50 a gallon, they'll be fine.
Yeah, when I went up to Jackalope, it was great. It was a dollar cheaper.
Oh, hell yeah. You guys, what, you're in California, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that's, you know, I when I go to California, I stop in Yuma, get filled up, and I can make it back to Yuma. They can suck it. All right, hold on. Here we go.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted to to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA.
I don't think we're trying to stop it, man.
The Bloods and the Crips and the KKK.
Yeah, arming them is not the best way to get them to stop fighting. Race,
then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurting, and crying. Practice what you preach, and would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love? Where is the love?
Right here on Declare Your Independence. You know, we got Dobby Parker. We got Mike Pastor Jason on. You know, we kind of, you know, just chilling and so on. We got there's a solution. And the solution is something you can't force on a society. It's individuals. You're going to free minds one at a time. And once you realize that, then you got, okay, you got other people creating more minds to free and stuff. And that's cool. You know, but I'm telling you, it's going to come as I think it's an enlightenment. Yeah, I've even said that over the last month or so. I'm going, I'm waiting for the enlightenment. It's just going to be poof. All y'all are, yeah, well, it must be true. I saw it on television. I go, it must be bullshit. I saw it on television. So that flip of the switch, when you lose that credibility, because I keep saying when we started doing Freedom is Phoenix, I go, the future is going to be about credibility. And I'm wondering where the different generations get their credit. So I'm going to ask Mike first. He's 34. He did the political process. He got all Ron Paul'd up in 12. He ran in 10. He got that, you know, well, why did you run in 10? Were you, Mike, were you involved in the Ron Paul influence from 08?
I mean, I was definitely pretty excited to see, like, YouTube videos of, you know, this guy I had heard about for so long, like, you know, talking about gold and, you know, and liberty and all that, and, you know, running for president. That definitely was influenced at some point in my life, definitely, you know, way around that, yeah.
Well, this is, okay, so what do you think, you go to the festivals, you talk to the guys, you're sitting around a campfire, you're hanging, you're selling stuff. Did you vend anything? Did you bring anything, or did you just hung out at Jackalope?
I might have sold, things, yeah.
He might have sold some things. Okay.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
There were things of being sold. Okay. So what did you join the Liberty Lovers Escort Service? Is that how you made your money?
I mean, like, not the worst idea for some people, right?
Did you hear about this?
The flyer, Dobby? Yeah. You showed me the pink flyer.
Yeah. Yeah, there was one that was a little explicit down one of the Port-a-Johns. Like, you know, the women, they were getting all upset. I go, well, here's a prop. Boom. I took it down, brought it here, and showed it on the show.
I mean, it wasn't anything that isn't littering the streets in Las Vegas, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I don't want Jackalope to be, you know, just kid tolerant. I mean, I'd like it to be more kid friendly. Yeah. You know, and a lot of people bring their dogs, but there was this one dog, man. He was being aggressive around people. Tie that some bitch up, or he's gonna be dead. You know, so yeah. It's kind of bang. I mean, you know, so I'm, you know, this is how anarchist things happen. You guys missed. Were you there the year that somebody kind of, you know, OD'd on some psychedelics?
I was most definitely there.
Yes,
that
I was.
That was, you know, that was an experiment in alphabets. I mean, you know, that, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit. I mean, you know, stuff happens. So, you know, how do you deal with it? And they were like, everybody's going, I think we should just tie him to a tree way up over there. Right. And somebody untied him, and he went stupid again. So we go, all right, fine. So he was having problems. Yeah, while Dobby was sick with, you know, what did you have?
I had mono and strep throat, and that might have been it. I also had, like, a really, like, bad sunburn on a significant part of my body that wiped me out, and I was just not in good shape.
Yeah, it took him a week or two just to recuperate down here. But what happened was this whole consternation's going on around him while he's trying to sleep. Man, please.
It was in my campsite.
I know.
Like, I'm trying to sleep in the front seat of my car because I just can't. I don't even have the strength to pull my mattress out because I have have a mattress. I'm just like, let me sleep in my car.
Yeah, I think like the showdown happened like right where Dobby's car was parked.
Yeah.
Like when it eventually had a time down again, it was right where Dobby was at.
I was literally like watching it happen and didn't have the strength to get up.
We went ahead. Eventually, we just, you know, rolled him up in a tarp or blanket or something, put him in the back of my Montero, and took him to the fire station.
Yeah.
We found this guy out there. He was going crazy. I don't know what you guys do. Here's his car. And then Alma, you know, lodged his dog down in Payson. The next day, he's fine. And, you know, what, he had other issues, you know. But
why, yes, officer. My name is Samaritan. First name, Good.
Well, he tried to give me. I drove it. He's like, well, I'm going to need your ID. And I go, no. And he goes, yeah, but we. I go, no. But I got a little piece of paper here with blank spaces. I need to fill it. No. And I go, you got my license plate? I go, you know who I am. I mean, seriously, I'm not helping. And he's looking like, no. He's like, you know, no, I got your license. I go, I know you got a license plate. I'm just not helping you.
I got your badge number. What's your point?
Bite me,
my name is Nobody.
So, yeah, nobody's going to stop the wars. Nobody's going to reduce my taxes. So I'm voting for Nobody.
Yeah.
You know, we got a campaign doing that. I just got it yesterday from some of the guys.
Oh, yeah?
They were asking for the Nobody artwork. I go, James Babb.
Yeah. I got tons of Nobody artwork, too. That one, forget the guy's name. There was a sort of organized Nobody campaign for a while, but that guy disappeared.
There's been plenty of them. Well, Mike, when you ran in 10, why? What was the prompting? What motivated you to do that?
You know, as far as, like, I could really see it is that we're going down this pathway, right? And it's not good. And it's all about control and filling out forms, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and we're going to tell you what to do because you've got, you know, the badge or the Fasquez or whatever. And I, at the time, that's all I knew as an option was like, okay, I guess I'll run for Congress because somebody from the state party asked me to, and I go, yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, if that baby will do something, but turns out it don't, so.
Well, did you get an up close and look at how it really, and what was the story you were talking about, the campaign manager of a guy, what?
I don't follow, what, no?
Jason, quit making noise, man. They hit mute your thing or something. So when you do, you were saying that on the campaign trail, you had some campaign managers.
Yeah. So the guy from Daryl Issa's office, right? So he didn't run a reelection campaign at all. I mean, they had people that had like titles, like, okay, this guy is the chairman of the reelection committee or whatever. But the guy straight up admitted to me on election night that they didn't print any signs, they didn't do anything. And I kind of knew they didn't, but, you know, he straight up says it, like, yeah, we didn't do anything.
You know what we do when we run the campaigns? They get pissed off because we have a presence. I mean, we'll do a bunch of signs and activist stuff and kind of, you know, and get some earned media or whatever the hell we do. And they're just pissed off because it's not like they think they're going to lose. It's just you're making them spend money. And they go,
exactly, that's one way to do it. Yeah.
You made me spend couple hundred thousand dollars, you bastards.
Since time began.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah,
it is. We would just drain
them. Make them spend money.
We had them come. I even had them say this at the discussion grid. They go, well, you're just making them spend money. I go, yes, I am. You know, how many millions of dollars have I cost you? Guys, suck it. And you guys, like, I'm supposed to be concerned that you don't like it. You know? Hell, that's why I do it. You know, so it's just, so when you came through all this, Mike, you just kind of, this isn't the answer, what is?
Right. And so then, you know, like in the process of, you know, running, like, obviously, like, I'm being introduced to, you know, a bunch of different libertarians, and then, of course, I find all the anarchists down in San Diego, and I start talking to those guys, and, you know, then they started kind of asking me what you're asking me, like, well, why are you doing this? And the more I talk to them, and I made a lot of friends that way, too, I'm asking for people to like submit to an authority. You know, that's what you're doing. is like, okay, yeah, I want this person to be my master over somebody else.
Amen, brother. Okay, so yeah, when so, you say anarchist, you go find them. What do you mean you go find them? They wear anarchist haze on their forehead or something? How you do that?
Oh, well, we used to have there used to be a cafe down in San Diego, like a coffee shop called Cafe Libertalia, and that was literally where all the anarchists hang out.
You know, when I had my pizza restaurant, we didn't call it this because my partner was like, he got kind of antsy on it. But we had the artwork, everything all done. A pizza revolution, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, it was going to be cool. I have the drivers wear a little vest, you know, like they're revolutionaries and kind of, you know, we're just, and he's like, no.
Burries and whatnot.
And then when we opened the restaurant, the big Taco Bell revolution dog took off, and I go, see? Butthead, you guys are so behind the times. So anyway, it's just, you know, I try and not have to. You know, I'm pretty cool with partner. Yeah, whatever. Let them have. Yeah, I don't care. But it's a lot of times people miss it. They don't see what's coming. Like with the Levolution, Ernie, how did you know? I'm like, how the hell did you not know? What the hell are you guys looking at? And that's why I'm asking you at 34, you know, what do you see coming? What's going to happen? And then I'll get Jason in this next segment coming up.
Well, okay. So the thing that I find really interesting, like recently, and then this. Applies to the question is what's going on in like Hong Kong. Like having this protest going on, and you know, and they're coming up with these like really different techniques on how to like slow down the cops. Like they're using like laser pointers to obscure the cameras and just to kind of like distract the police so they can't do what they're doing. We have to get above the tech of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because like down in San Diego, they've got in the city of San Diego, they've got cameras in the light posts, and they also have microphones in there too. And like the cops are listening in on people's conversations as they're walking down the street. Like we have to get above that, you know. So that's the sort of thing that you know, as much as there may not be as many of us, we have to like multiply our numbers in the sense of being able to.
Okay, let me give you this one idea. This is years ago. Somebody came up with this really cool idea, and it's probably working better now. These little dollar laser pointers that you get, they got like three little watch batteries in it or something, and you push the button and you get a red laser. You know, these pointers, they work pretty good. He was taking them, and he wrapped tape around it so it stayed on. And you know how you do luminaries? You have like a little lunch bag with sand in it or whatever. He would put that on the ground or on anywhere, and he would, you know, in the sand, he'd roll it down, and he'd have that laser pointer in the sand and have it fixed pointing into a camera lens for a stoplight or some crap like that, you know?
Beautiful.
So it's just, you didn't have to do anything. You spend a buck, you put thing, you put it in, boom. They lost revenue for as long as that laser would work.
Plus, they probably would take a long time to notice. They probably wouldn't notice until the photos started coming back, and they're like, what the hell's going on
here? They'd notice way after the battery, you know, was dead or something. Then they go, you know, it's like, so what? Or you go get it, and you put another one or whatever. Sure. It's on your street corner. See, you do these kind of pirate things, and then who gets in trouble? The guy does the web page explaining it.
Yeah.
You know, or.
There was a group for a while that went around putting.
We're back. And we're back.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, just there was a group for a while that was going around tying balloons to those cameras. So you just, like, you go up, you tie it to the pole, the balloons cover the camera, and so it just looks like a bundle.
Tell you, 4409 here, you know, during Levolution time, while we're doing all this stuff, he would go up and put Post-its on it.
Okay.
And he'd just put Post-its on it. But because you weren't painting on it, you weren't graffiti, and you could remove it, it wasn't vandalism, so there was no charges.
Yeah.
They had to physically go up there and take them off, and there was nothing they could do about it. I don't know if they changed it. Probably changed that law or something. But, you know, it's – so we've been talking to Mike Pastor and Jason. And, Mike, you know, the future is real quick before we get to Jason, Mike, just sum it up. You know, you're thinking what's going to happen. You talked about, you know, China – Hong Kong protesting. You see that coming here? What do you think is going to happen?
It's important to take notes. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. With everything that they're doing over there, you know, they're kind of like they're a little bit more towards like that edge of dystopia than we are over here. So we have to see what they're doing and write it down. Because we got to learn how to do that before that sort of system comes here.
I got my own opinion. I'll share it here a little bit. But Jason, let's give you know your due, man. Go ahead and what do you see is coming? What do you think's got to happen? What do you think's going to happen?
Thank you for asking. It all really depends, first on context of what exact news like's going around. So, for example, like the recent news with like Jeffrey Epstein, like how that's all like going scrambles with the news and the internet, and how like people are thinking like it's either suicide or people don't know what's going on. Personally, hypothetically, I don't think he's necessarily committed suicide. But personally, I don't know what the hell has happened.
Hell, I'm holding out the idea that he ain't even dead. You know?
Yeah.
Even if
yeah,
they bring out. But
yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that in the next segment. Davi and I were working on this last night, doing some art and different. You know, that'd be interesting. But you know, what do you think the point is? Is that people just lose confidence in, I don't know, institutions? What?
It all, like I said, so at first I was saying it really depends. So, like, it really comes down to what people are willing to do in spite of all, like, terrible things that do happen in the world. Are we going to run to authorities to help? Or are we going to find, like, things to do off of our own volition? Or are we going to find, like, solutions that we can do within our own community or talk to our neighbors? So it really comes down to, like, how can we change minds and the dynamics of how that works.
Minds to what? You know, see, my thing is, I have a little bit of land here. I got like almost 2 acres. So I can, you know, kind of do something. And my thing is, do I do a webpage? I make another one? And it'd be backyard anarchist, you know? Or is it, you know, front yard anarchist? And yeah, I planted a tomato plant up front and wait for him to give me a ticket. So I just, you know, what is it that we do? My mindset is anarchism is already here. You know, nobody makes me get up at any time. Nobody's, you know, forcing me to eat or not eat something. Nobody. They're trying to influence. They're surveilling. They're, you know, tracking every freaking click. They're doing all that, trying to influence or whatever, but not putting a gun to my head and you have to and you can't right now. Now they're saying, you know, anything I want to do, I'm going to do. You know, yeah, they want me to get a permit. But, you know, we can pretty much be living an anarchist life right now with wallet voting. I have, since 03, I have walletvoting.com because I could see, and I haven't even used it, it just forwards to the site, and I could see that it's all the little bitty dollars that we spend, all the time that we, you know, invest in something, you know, how we educate our children. It's just little itty bitty every day, 1%. I'm not going to get takeout or fast food, you know, one less time a month or something, and their crap just falls apart because they're such on a tight margin, they can't take us withdrawing our consent from the system. You see my point?
Well, it's like they keep saying millennials are destroying various industries, and it's like, well, it's because millennials have figured out that, you know, there's no reason to buy a like bundle of cable channels when they can pirate everything, and millennials have figured out that there's like no reason, like there's no reason to engage in these like legacy systems when technological alternatives exist for free or for cheap.
Yeah, go where the real money is, merchandising.
And then they go, oh, these people are destroying the economy. It's like, no, they're just trying to survive in the economy.
Yeah. It's not a flamethrower.
He's working two jobs.
Yeah, we have this attitude like we revere all these institutions that we take for granted, and as if it wasn't for these institutions, everything would just fall apart. And it's just, you can go on day and night about how insane that really is, just completely, because even the alternatives that we currently do have, and even that we're currently using, it makes it very conducive to be more and more independent. And yeah, it also bears the question of what else can we do?
Well, what do you think? I mean, how would it be? I mean, you know, the most anarchist thing that I see is probably mainstream would be Craigslist. You know, and when they arrested Morpheus, because he would advertise on Craigslist for doing local Bitcoin stuff, he goes, he wrote an article for Freedom's Phoenix just a couple days ago this weekend on Epstein. He goes, let me tell you.
I got to check that. I don't even know about that.
He goes, me tell you about, well, go to, I think it's probably on the bottom of the page in the article section there, because articles and columns kind of last a little longer. I think you'll see Morpheus down there. But he's going, yeah, let me tell you how this Suicide Watch thing works. But, you know, I'm looking at the anarchist mindset of people just, yeah, I'll just do it. I'll make it. I'll get it. And maybe I'll spend a little bit more to support this person. That's why we're trying to help, you know, guys like you and your age bracket. You got some project or something. I'm always trying to promote something, because many of these things take off. You know, somebody's like, woohoo, you know, thanks, Ernie, and I'd be rich, you know, or something. I'm like, ah, right on, peace. But I'm just wondering why. You know, why do you think it is? What's coming, Jason? You know, what do you think's got to happen? Because it doesn't happen all at once, but it does happen overnight. And people are starting to see that the overnight be a coming. What do you think it's going to be?
It's definitely a good question. If I had to draw anything, like, hypothetically for what's going to happen, I mean, certain shit can definitely hit the fan, and more people can start asking, like, is there anything else? Like more and more people can start to learn on accident just how bad things really are before they start asking what alternatives there are. Or it can be a complete 180, and it just shit hits the fan. But I honestly, I don't know. Hypothetically, I really do think that more and more people are going to start to look for alternatives very gradually. But
I don't want the choices they're always presenting to me. You know, it's like, did Epstein's dead? Did he commit suicide to get murdered? And I go, what makes you think he's dead?
Yeah,
that's not an option. Not an option. That's not in the. That was not in the multiple choice bubble that you get to do. And that was not one of your options. That he's not. That's not an option. I'm going, why is that not an option? You know, I mean, I you know, because I'm supposed to just believe what you guys say? Of course not.
You should always question what's going on. Of course, I don't even believe he's dead. I mean, of course, as you were just saying, why? You know, and there's the question, why? And, that just reminded me, Larkin Rose was actually making, like, such a fantastic point about that. I'm trying to remember exactly what he wrote about it. It was a phenomenal point about it, like how somebody, when they're in suicide watch, like they don't leave anything in your cell to, like, that you can hang yourself with. What? Like, there's just a there's
the report
a lot of
now
great
is he wasn't even on suicide watch.
He wasn't even on too. Suicide watch now.
Well, that's a whole nother thing.
So, like, was it that he was, and then people are like, wait a minute, and they're like, oh no, he wasn't, or was it, like, misreported in the first place,
and
or
the video cameras went out of the guy that showed? I don't care.
Yeah, he's alive. He's got to be alive.
I mean, he had a dead man switch that they were like, we'll make sure you're alive. We'll just get you out and you can have your own. We'll put you back on your island or something. It belongs to the FBI now anyway.
Really funny how the cameras never work when they don't want them to, right?
It's really, yeah. That's
you know,
strange.
This is one thing we just got. They made a big, I just heard it on the radio yesterday. I got in the car. Where were we going? I was doing something yesterday. Oh, yeah, I went to Dr. Frank's. And I had the radio on and they were talking about God, I lost my train of thought. What was it? You know, body cameras. City of Phoenix Police Department. We're rolling out. Woohoo! We're it now. And they all have their body cameras. And I'm going, yeah. Well, they tend to run out of batteries and not work at the most inappropriate times.
Right.
So I don't trust them anyway. You know, these guys, whatever. You know, I think they're more for their protection than ours. They just, you know, make it look right. But a lot of these guys are so dumb, and we've gone to trial on different. Well, I can do this because I'm a cop. I go, well, the statute right here says you can't do that. No, you don't have to produce ID if you're not suspected of a crime or going to do a crime or a crime. You just walk up and then everybody gets ID'd. And somebody didn't do it. They arrest them. They go through all kinds of crap and everything. Lawsuit. They won $26,000 against the state. But, you know, the reason we did it was because the officer, I'm a cop. I can do whatever the hell I want. Really?
And that's what a lot of them
Let's
think.
Talk about it.
Yeah, they have that complete attitude.
In a sense, they can, because they did whatever they want, and then after the fact, there was a lawsuit, and then someone from the taxpayers had to pay off the lawsuit. It's not like that cop got in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. They very seldom do.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I didn't have the network up, so we're just blazed right through into the break. We'll be back in a little bit. But the one thing that I wanted to, you know, I still didn't get it, thought I got a clean answer, is that, you know, sum it down into a bumper sticker and tell me, hey, Tim, you know, tell me, all right, the next wave of whatever is going to depend on what? You're looking for what? You know, when you say Hong Kong, you're saying, we need strategy. We need to be able to confront these buggers, you know, a better way of blah, blah, blah. I'm going, why confront them? Why are we confronting them? I don't have to confront them.
Well, they're confronting you in the context of Hong Kong.
And I walk away.
Well, Yeah, okay. I mean, you're probably not going to go to the demonstration at all.
Hell no! I don't want to be wrapped up in the orange tape, you know, the orange netting. There's no reason for that when I could be a dick in a whole, so many other ways.
You know, like you were saying, Ernie, it pretty much starts in here. Like, you're free in here. Like, yeah, you have them externally trying to control you, but if you can reclaim, like, ownership of your mind first, that's always a good start.
Boom.
But, yeah.
Okay, I got this one graphic up. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Oh, I'm saying a lot of people are just kind of walking around like there's a cage on their mind.
Right.
They don't want to think outside of like this box that they've been told to think in.
It's uncomfortable. I mean, once you break free, and a lot of times they'll go, well, you don't have, most of the people don't think that way. And I'm going, I don't care. You know, the people that do, they're the ones that actually do anything. You know, you can just sit there and yell at me and pound on your keyboards all you want because I don't use Facebook, so I don't care.
Most people don't think every idea up until they do.
Yeah.
Like, the majority never embraces the new idea. Until it's some sort of a groundswell or enough people are persuaded.
This is what
or
I
they
see.
Look in the telescope or whatever.
This is what I see in the media. They don't do the news. They do a spin on the olds. What they want to do is they after everybody sees the signs, after everybody knows that something's going on, after everybody sees, you know, the banner, overhang, freeway, walk, whatever, chain link, something, after everybody sees it, then they come and report and tell you what it is according to them.
Yeah.
It's a spin on what everybody already knows. They will not propagate, you know, something going on. Maybe they may try and nip it in the bud and say you're a Holocaust denier or something, you know, whatever they're going to call you, conspiracy, whatever. But the thing is that you go, yeah, I don't worry about them anymore. I don't even trust social media. It is local. It's on their doorstep. It's in their face. And they were like, how in the hell did you do this Levolution thing? By just doing it. You know? All right, we're coming back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
There's a man going around taking names. And he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
And the man's always coming around. Do you care? And what's your protection? A lot of times people that don't have... I'll give you a good example. There's a story recently. It was a big university college quarterback, young black man that's driving. He was speeding, they say. They pull him over. What's this here white powder stuff on the hood of your car? And he goes, bird shit. And they go, I don't know. It's testing positive for cocaine on the hood of his car.
So they thought that he was smuggling cocaine by carrying it on the hood of his car.
Because they could.
While he was driving.
It's just, yeah, but they do this all the time.
Nuts.
But they happen to do it to a popular college quarterback. Now, of course, he was suspended. Then it goes reinstated.
What's this cocaine I found in my pocket?
No, they tested it and they said, it's bird crap. But it was just, because they could. You know, hey, man, it looked like it to me, you know. So this is what they do to people, and sooner or later they hit somebody's daughter that they shouldn't have, you know, that kind of thing. But that just means that they're doing it to everybody. So when you have a support structure, whenever you get, like, we've had, for a lot of us, it would be over here, and there's like 4409, you know, a lot of the activists and vloggers and so on during the day, and you could hear the police, they go, no, he's that guy, don't mess with him. You know, and for me, it's always like when, you know, I had the same experiences. They're like, you'll be on the news, you know? So it's just, we have to have everybody do that. And then a lot of applications started going that way to where we could, you know, communicate when stuff was happening, live video and all that kind of stuff. So, of course, here they come after it. Then you got, you know, YouTube banning, deplatforming, all this kind of. What do you think the technological advance? See, I'm not for having the fight in front of a cop with a gun, sitting on the.
I'd rather not do that either.
Yeah, I would not advocate that.
Nobody wants to do that.
Don't do that. You're gonna get yourself killed.
Well, what is it you think, Mike?
Don't do what? I missed something.
Don't be head-to-head with a cop in your face yelling whatever the hell.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like...
I'm good at that.
When those sort of protests get started, it's not that everybody wants to do that. It's out of desperation. You know,
occupation,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, it's funny you kind of mentioned about, like, we're talking really about how long people will endure this sort of stuff, and this, you know, I mean, that goes all the way back to, that's in the Declaration of Independence, you know, like, people are gonna put up with this for a very long time before they eventually just say they're not gonna put up with it anymore.
And then what? I'm not gonna put up with it. Then, you know, I'm for just turning back, getting on my pirate ship and suck it. Anarchy's only 62 miles away, man, straight up. Boom! I'm out.
If we can get there, let's get there, you know? Yeah.
Well, are we going to invite government? We're going to space and government's not invited, but they may invite themselves. And what do I got to do, get an ion cannon or something? I mean, this is what happened.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Find a nice asteroid and, you know, and start farming, I guess. I don't know.
Well, what's your guy's day job? When you say you're, you know, practicing agorist, what does that mean? You live in your car?
Skip.
All right. Oh, okay. Yeah, I got it. So you have a business. I got it. All right.
Yeah, same, a little similar, related. We could talk about it in person.
Yeah, got it. Hey, yeah, we got a big party this Friday. You know, Jordan Page is going to be down doing a concert. We've done that before. That's a rip-roaring good time. So, you know.
Sweet. I met him originally at Porkfest in 2015. He's awesome.
Well, how far are you from Phoenix?
Oh, I'm far. I'm really, really far. We flew. Me and my girlfriend flew when we went to Jackfest, though. We flew from Long Island, New York. So we're really far.
Oh, my God.
Yep, we're really far.
Well, how did you enjoy it? Was it what you expected? Less? More? I mean, you're going, what the hell, man? You're like, oh, man, she talks it up. Woohoo! I go, look, man, it's dry camping. You're out in the middle. You don't bring it. You don't got it.
Yeah, what is it? A little bit of what I expected, because I went the three previous years, starting in 2016, but always come with a little bit of a better expectation of what's going to come or who else is going to show up with new stuff. It's always a wonderful time. I love going to Jackfest. So
it's very mind clearing. I don't go to sell, to bend, to this, to that, to whatever. I put a stack of cash in my pocket and I just go. You know, and then spread the love. And that's one thing, everybody go, well, you should this, and you should, I go, wow, that's a good idea, you should do that. You know, seriously. You know, everybody's always what I'm supposed to do. And I tell you, let me tell you what Jackalope is to me. Of all the festivals I go all summer, Fork Fest, Pork Fest, Red Pill, Anarcho Vegas, Freedom Fest, all these, I get, it's just so much stress and expense and everything. And then I go camping with a bunch of anarchist friends for a few days or a week or two. And I'm going, which one do you think's my favorite at 78 degrees up in the mountains there where I can go, you know, take my ATV a quarter mile and go shooting all I want, you know, whatever I want, and, you know, have some fun and do and pace. I'm like, duh, which one do you think I like better? So when I go, it is because I don't want to do nothing other than go visit you and, you know, partake in your agorism, know what I mean?
Right on.
Yeah, I'm going up there to like decompress, you know. You know, it's kind of funny, like you can get cell phone signal like way on the top of,
if
you know,
you have to, if you need to do a Bitcoin transaction or something, you know.
Yeah. I don't want to touch my cell phone the whole week. I don't want to do it. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to interact with it. I'm done, you know, for that week. So that's kind of my thing, you know.
Get out there. I remember when Porkfest first started that a lot of the young people, they get there like, we can't get cell signal. There's no cell signal. And a lot of us are going, woohoo! There's no cell signal.
I'm on that team. Yeah.
Well, there's definitely not there. Well, there's a little bit. Sometimes you can get a text or you might be able to, you know, receive. Well, you know, Bob down there, he has a repeater that he has a pole, goes up at the top of the tree and whatever, and he can watch movies. You know, he can stream movies. And then Derek Slopey, he went up there and he transmitted, I don't know if you were there that year, when we had the bug out site contest. We gave out $1,000 for that. There was a couple of favorites. And he broadcast a signal from the top of the hill up there down into the valley, so anybody that signed up with this thing had internet service.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
You know, so there's, I mean, we could do it. It's just like, do we really want to? I mean, I don't care, you know. It's just that, leave it alone. And then, but this Friday, Jordan Page is going to be here, and Nova, the flautist that was up there, he's going to come down and do a little bit, and he's going to be making us some pirate garb out of leather. So we're going to hook him up with some work. And so I mean, what do you guys, you know, plan on aiding in the future of the agorist things spiral into whatever? You guys are going to be good no matter what?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can adapt pretty well. You know, it's just a matter of developing good communities. You know, I'm kind of really getting in on that idea of, like, freedom cells, you know, of having a group of people that you trust that think the way that you do, and you're able to contact an emergency, you know, mutual aid sort of a thing, like, get those sort of things going are pretty important.
Yeah, we kind of, we got a pretty wide, I keep trying to keep everybody just informed. You know, a lot of people, they want to depend on the cell. They want to depend on the agorist. They want to depend on, you know, the movement to support them. And a lot of times some of them, the content creators do, or they got some cool thing or whatever, but it's really a side thing. It's, you know, you live your life and do it freely and be a light for others. And then all of a sudden we're all free. You know, it's not going to be like a club thing. You know, that's called communes, man. You know, I mean, you know, is that one thing that you guys think about? Everybody's always, if we all just went and lived on this hill, we'd be good.
I kind of think that may not be the best idea. I think if you look through history, the idea of having your little, you know, your little fortress on the hill or whatever, doesn't end well. I mean, you can go all the way back to, like, Roman history and, like, the siege of Masada. Like, they'll take it. They'll get it somehow, some way. So you kind of just keep moving, maybe go up into space, you know, find that asteroid. Space.
You know, there's one thing I mentioned this sometimes because it had such an impact on me. It was a gentleman that went through Kosovo as a 30-year-old. He was in his early 30s or something at the time. And when Kosovo happened, all the people that lived out on the bug out Lone Prairie farm about, and they're dead. They always got overrun every time. But it was the guys that lived in the city that had an apartment complex or a building, and they would, in the patio, they went out and they dug a well, and they had foraging teams and defense and whatever. They didn't have a community that could defend themselves against the snipers and the, you know, armies of or whatever, you were dead. Or you were inside their, whatever the hell, influence. So that's one thing. That's why I don't think there's a collective answer against collectivism. Our collective is going to beat up your collective against collectivism. I don't see that. It's an attitude that you practice daily with every decision, and we promote that.
Don't you hate that?
Don't you hate that? Yeah, that's it. Cool. Thanks, guys. You know, hopefully you guys got some cool thing. You know, then maybe next year we'll start, if you're going to Jackalope, we'll start prepping it for everybody. I think next year, because it's 2020 cycle, and I need to switch seats with Tim Doff. I think it's because 2020 election cycle that there's going to be a need for it. It's going to be right before the election. We're going to be up there. Woohoo! We're going to do something right at the end, or we're just going to sit back and watch and be entertained, or we're going to try, you know, because I think between now and the presidential election cycle, the economics is going to take a big giant dump, worse than 08 and 09. And when that happens, people are going to be scared. There's going to be a lot of, we had a lot of problems back then, but if you know what's coming, what's going on, like my kids, they all benefited from, you know, selling real estate and buying it at the right time, and they kind of, cool, I guess, you know, dad's not a total idiot, you know, and it's coming again, and I'm hoping that we have enough foresight that we choose wisely in what we buy, what we do, what we create, which internet we go on, you know, I'm looking for a decentralized off of the DOD grid. I don't trust them. I don't want to be on that, but I don't see Bitcoin as an answer either. Maybe some other alt or something, but
yeah, it may not be, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's GoldmanSucks.gov coin. And the problem
is,
the thing is Libra is going to outdo them there, and they're not private, so they're just out. It's either your Libra or your Monero. I mean, it's like one or the other. You know, so I'm going, yeah, the technology can save us, but it gets taken over. It always does. You know, it's not like the man's going to ignore it, you know.
Walmart
so,
just announced they're coming out with a coin.
Here, hold on. I'm sorry, what?
Walmart just announced they're coming out with a coin.
Of course they are.
Well, yeah, because they want to pay their employees.
No.
Now, which chair, you want to be there or there? Is that camera better for that?
You want to switch? We can switch.
I'll see how it comes in.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Yeah, we're setting up for the next hour.
Yes, switch.
Well, this mic is easier for me to control. This one, you got to I got to have it cranked up all the way.
It's like work.
You know? But go ahead and, you know, keep me informed of what's going on. Next year, I think, into 2020, I might, you know, kind of get involved and make it more of a promotional thing as it's a big deal. And the reason is because we've gone, it'll be in the ninth year. I don't know if we'll make it 10. You know, the man's just not. If we make a big deal in 2020, there's going to be, you know, the man's like, you're having too much fun. You're not allowed, you know. And we've had up to, God, there's only probably 100, 110. How many people you think were there this year?
When I was there, it was about, I want to say about like 120 on the weekend, but I was only there for the first week. I wasn't able to stay for both. I was hoping Doggy was going to be there, but I guess wasn't able to make it.
Yeah, I went to an event in, is this mic on?
Hello.
You got to be up on it.
Yeah, I was at an event in Williamsburg, Virginia that weekend.
Yeah, scares that care. Well, what we're going to do, I think in 2020, I may, you know, focus on it being a big deal. And whenever we do that, you know, the man wants to come visit. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't, you know, who's in charge? I don't know. I don't know. Jack.
Jack, yeah, it's Jack. It's always Jack.
Yeah, it's Jack. Jack. Well, who got the porta potties? I don't know. Jack and Crypto. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Oh, yeah. The graphics that are up here, we got this one, you know, red, black, communist flag with the bear on it. What the hell is that about?
I don't know. Who put that up there? I don't know.
Donna did. I have no idea. Where'd you get that from, Donna?
Google.
It had associated with them? Well, that's California communist flag.
Oh. Wait, what are we trying to say here exactly?
I know. I'm just like, what the hell? You know, I should have. All right, well, it's too late now. Everybody California. Thinks they're communist.
Oh, man, the whole world now. Oh, no.
Yeah, whatever. Well, I got the anarchist in there, too. But we got Libertarian Party California. You know, okay. Well, because you guys don't have a lot of pictures up there.
Apparently.
All right. Well, here, let's delete that one from the file.
Appreciate
and I think
it.
I'll delete. Okay, Donna's not perfect. I mean, whatever, you know. We have a lot of guys up. They have run for office or some libertarian thing or something, and she'll put it up, and everybody right. they go, get that off of there, you know. Yeah, you guys weren't seeing it. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on and hanging. You know, I think if we're going to be pushing, you know, for next year, all the guys that have been going a lot of that's one thing that we didn't do is we didn't, I never go around and get a database. You know, everybody's like, oh, you know, I get contacts, like I got your number and stuff, you know, we do this and so on. But, you know, it's like, sign up here. You even have one year, Alma had a registration desk. What the hell are you doing? Oh, no, it's just to see if they, yeah, bullshit, you know? So, but the registration. So I'd like to have a big whiteboard. People can, you know, I got, you know, kind of stuff. And each year is different. I mean, you know, we've had a lot of different fun. This one was really a lot more relaxing and chill. I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
I really like this year, but a lot of people they want more action, man. We need some fights or something. We need like you know, mud wrestling or we need Olympics or something. You know, so there's a lot of things that we can do. We'll have some fun with. But hey, thanks for coming on, Mike, Jason. Right. I appreciate you guys spending time with us.
Thank you so much.
All right, peace, brothers.
Yep, take it easy, hearing. Have a good one. Bye bye.
Take care.
Please support.
Shortly after members of the New York Police Department found a super sharp Buck brand pocket knife earlier this morning, Lieutenant Joseph Mattioli spoke to Onion reporters at the scene of the discovery to update the public on this potentially deadly blade.
At 8:40 a.m., police discovered what seems to be a pretty badass Buck knife. Investigators believe it to be basically the deadliest knife ever.
Mattioli confirmed that the pretty cool wood-handled knife has a clean edge and added that the blade must be, quote, at least like 8 inches long.
At this time, we'd like everyone to be aware that there's probably a man out there with an eye patch and scars all over his face that has access to these knives, or maybe even a samurai sword. We urge people to be careful when approaching him because he may flip out and chop both your arms off before you even realize it.
Following the announcement, Mattioli asked people to come forward if they had any information about the owner of the knife or if they just wanted to hold it for a couple of seconds. For more on this story, check this week's Onion Review.
This is the Onion News Network.